What are the duties and obligations of physicians to treat pain? That's the question for this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Dr. Richard Payne is with us. He is the professor of medicine and divinity at Duke Divinity School, Duke University, and the Esther Cauliflower Director of the Duke Institute on Care at the End of Life. In your presentation today, we've got a round table together here in Kansas City about pain, and you called for a return to basics. Talk about that, if you would.
Right. I think that we need to really come back to an understanding of what are the goals and ends of medicine, and medicine as a profession I'm talking about. And, of course, I think we would all say then that means to promote health and well-being of people. And so it doesn't mean it – so medicine isn't a business, it's a profession, and it's about promoting health and well-being. And from that perspective, then, we can, I think, just keep that in mind as we attack these problems of complex chronic illness, and pain is on the forefront of a complex chronic illness problem.
Now, you said these goals aren't all in broad agreement whenever it comes to patients and physicians,
right,
and policymakers, et cetera.
Right, right. You see, I think that one of the ends of medicine has come to be seen as medicine is there to fix everything. And to the extent that through our incremental advances in science and technology, that we can, in fact, better diagnose and better treat and even, in fact, quote-unquote, cure some diseases, that's great. But that doesn't mean that that is the sole end or goal of medicine. And that, in fact, most of what human beings deal with respect to their health and well-being are chronic conditions where they need help in maintaining their function and quality of life. And doctors and nurses and the healthcare system needs to be aligned with the patient and family goals to restore them to as close to a possible the quality of life that they want, even if we can't fix totally or cure their problem.
You talked about patient-centeredness,
right,
and it would almost seem like that would make sense, that the patient,
right,
should be the focus,
right,
of everything. But that's a concept that at some levels and different aspects of this that isn't all that well received.
Right. Well, you know, it depends on what you mean by, yes, on how you define patient-centeredness. Now, patient-centeredness, that concept, is part of the National Academy of Science, Institute of Medicine, you know, broad domains of what constitutes quality care. You know, is care timely? Is it effective? Is it safe? Is it equitable? And is it patient-centered? So how are we talking, what do we mean by patient-centered in the context of particularly in the context of pain management? Well, I think it means that we are understanding the patient's goals and needs well enough so that we are always, so that we're acting in a way that we are not in control of them in terms of models in which we're telling them what to do, or encouraging them that we're going to fix everything in their lives, but that we have are taking a shared, a collaborative model of decision-making, and that as a relationship and as a partnership, we're going to work together to try to maintain the quality of life. To me, that's what patient-centeredness means.
You speak a lot about professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with you, in your mind, with competency,
right,
and the ability and the inclination of the physician to be able to listen to the patient,
right,
and their narrative whenever it comes to pain.
Right. Well, profession, I think we've gotten into trouble as a medical profession when we've equated professionalism solely with competency. Now, competency is a big part of what it means to be a high-quality medical professional. But if it's, but you can be competent at to in a very narrow sense of the word and of your world, and still miss in terms of providing all that the patient and family really need to, again, meet their goals of functioning at the highest possible quality of life with this disease or condition. So competency is important, but I would reframe and redefine competency that it's not just about the technical matter of fixing. A truly competent professional dealing with these complex problems like pain is one who elicits the patient's story, who understands they actually cannot provide the highest quality care without understanding the person who has this disease or problem, as opposed to just seeing this individual as a series of problems to be solved.
And eventually, or at times, a doctor needs to become an advocate for their patient, and that's an important part of it, too.
Yes. I think advocacy is critical because part of the problem is our system needs to be transformed. Our system needs to change. I like to say we don't have a healthcare system. We have a disease detection and management system, right? And so in order to transform the system in ways that would allow us, one, to reestablish meaningful relationships with our patients, to really be able to interrogate and understand the narrative, the story behind the disease, we've got to change how we reimburse practice. We've got to change how we train. We actually have to think fundamentally how we are forming young men and women to practice health professions in medicine and nursing, and so and all that requires advocacy. So I think we as a role, we have much broader role than just to that patient in front of us, but we have a role to understanding these issues, speaking out to stakeholders and decision makers and providers, and working collaboratively with colleagues.
You've been at this a while. Do you feel like we've been making progress?
Some days I do, some days I don't. I think that we're making progress. At the end of the day, I think yes, because I think there are organizations like the Center for Practical Bioethics here, which convenes thoughtful people to begin naming these issues and to begin outlining strategies for attacking these issues and for dealing with these issues. And that's progress. I mean, so, what's the Margaret Mead quote that, change only happens when a group of thoughtful, committed people, I'm paraphrasing, make it happen. And so I think to the degree that there are groups like Practical Bioethics that are leading this effort, bringing people together, that's progress. But it's an enormous issue because there are so many interests and layers of rules and regulations now that govern how the healthcare non-system, that it will take an enormous effort to transform this.
Dr. Richard Payne is a professor of medicine and divinity at Duke Divinity School, Duke University, the Esther Cauliflower Director of the Duke Institute on Care at the End of Life. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
My name is Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.